Alleluia, Christ is risen. Please be seated. The conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What does this mean? This means that I should be certain. These petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means, yes, yes, it shall be so. The old saying goes that there's nothing certain in this life except for death, taxes. It says something about our world that the only two certain things we can claim are both bad. We're reminded of the latter a couple weeks every year in April. And the former, we don't need one day a year to remind us of that, because death constantly overshadows us. We are reminded of death every day of our lives. We are certain of death because death is universal. Death has always been, so it seems. It always will be, or so it seems. Across nature, there is no creature found in this world that does not die someday. All living creatures will expire, whether due to age or illness or injury. No matter who you are, no matter how powerful, wise, wealthy, or even spiritual you are going to die someday. Great kings and conquerors of old, they're all dead. The philosophers and scholars whose works we still study to this day, dead. Even the prophets and saints of every world religion, they're all dead too. This is why we began the season of Lent 40 plus days ago with the verdict pronounced on each and every person who came forward: remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But there's more to death than just the certainty of its existence. Death is personal. Of course, we know that everything's going to die, and yet we can't just treat death like an ordinary event. The scriptures are right. Death stings. Death hurts. It hurts even when you have a dog or cat that dies. How much more so the death of a friend or family member? You know this sting. You've felt this sting. You've watched your loved ones, once strong and bright and healthy, as they slowed down, weakened, and stumbled. Held the hands of your loved ones as they were taking their final breaths. You sat in the cemetery as the casket bearing your loved ones' remains were lowered into the ground. Heard the silence, seen the empty chair at the table, felt the empty space next to you in the bed. Not just foolish to deny the certainty of death, it's downright offensive, because death is something that we all know and feel in the bottom of our hearts. As you reflect on that, it gives you a little insight as to what Mary Magdalene was feeling as she made her way to the tomb that Easter morning with the other women. She was there on Good Friday when Jesus died. She watched from a distance. She even stood by his cross. She watched as Jesus, her Lord, was pierced by nails and the crown of thorns, and finally by a spear. She heard him when he cried out, "It is finished," and breathed his last. It was there when he gave up his spirit. She looked on as his corpse was taken down from the cross, as Joseph and Nicodemus bound that body in linen cloths and laid it in the tomb. She saw the stone rolled against the entrance of the tomb. If anyone had certainty about the death of a loved one, Mary Magdalene was certain of the death of her Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He is the one who died and yet did not remain in death. He is the one who was laid in the grave and yet came forth from that grave by his own power and authority. And Christ Jesus willed that his resurrection from the dead be just as certain as his death on the cross 3 days earlier. That's why he sent two angels to meet Mary at the tomb. That's why he appeared to her personally, directly, called her by name. But our Lord wasn't just interested in proving his resurrection to Mary Magdalene. Rather, he wills that all his disciples believe in his glorious resurrection from the grave, starting with the women who accompanied Mary to the tomb on that morning, who would see those same angels, who would hear from those same angels that Jesus, who was crucified, whom they sought, was not there, but had risen. And later, Jesus would appear to those women, and he would greet them. We find that in Matthew's gospel. Also heard in this gospel lesson, the apostles Peter and John ran to the tomb, found that the linen cloths were lying there in the tomb, neatly folded, along with the face cloth, folded up in a place by itself. Later that day, Jesus walked and talked with two disciples on the road to Emmaus, appearing to Peter. He had a piece of fish in front of the disciples and showed them his hands and his side when he appeared to them in the locked upper room. And he continued to appear to make his resurrection known. A week later, as we'll hear next Sunday, he appeared to Thomas in particular and offered his pierced hands and side to be touched and felt, proving that he was alive in his flesh. After that, he cooked breakfast for his disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He appeared to more than 500 Christians at one time. He appeared to his brother James in particular. And at his ascension, he appeared once more before his disciples and spoke with them about the kingdom of God before being taken out of their sight by a cloud. Last of all, he even appeared to the Apostle Paul before he became the Apostle Paul. He was on the road to Damascus, seeking to persecute more Christians. Again and again and again, Jesus revealed himself to be alive, that his followers might have certainty of his resurrection. Yes, since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, death is certain, but our Lord Jesus Christ went out of his way to make his resurrection just as certain, if not more so. He presented himself alive to his disciples after his death by many proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Hear this. Mark this well. Christ is really risen. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. It is a fact. Body wasn't stolen. He didn't appear as a ghost or spirit. This isn't a myth or legend. Jesus doesn't live on simply in the memories of his disciples or in their good deeds. Resurrection is the truth. It's history. Not a myth, not a legend, not a fable, certainly not a fraud. Jesus was dead, certainly dead, but now he is alive, certainly alive. Now, why did Jesus take such great pains to ensure that his disciples would be certain of the resurrection? Well, in the first place, he did so that you, 2,000 years later, you would be certain of that same resurrection. But the disciples heard and saw. They were called by Christ to preach and teach, and in some cases, to write down. And so the Apostle John, who was there at the cross, who ran to the tomb and outran Peter, who was found in the upper room and saw and heard Jesus with his own eyes and ears, writes with certainty what we heard on Friday night. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. And again, as we'll hear next week, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus intends the certainty of his resurrection to be held not only by those who lived with him 2,000 years ago, but also by all those who follow him and come to believe in him through the disciples' word. For faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith, worked by the Holy Spirit through the word of God, clings to that word of God. The good news that Christ crucified for your sins and for the sins of the world is risen again, lives and reigns to all eternity. But our Lord Jesus willed not only to make his resurrection certain for his sake, but also for yours. That is to say, Christ Jesus willed that the disciples would be certain of his resurrection so that you would be certain of your own resurrection someday. So we heard the Apostle Paul this morning. Christ, who is raised from the dead, is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. As by a man, Adam, came death through sin, by a man, Jesus, has come also the resurrection from the dead, by his resurrection. Christ's resurrection is not a unique, isolated incident. It's not just something that happens once and never again. Rather, the good news of Easter is that because Christ is risen indeed, you will rise indeed. Because Christ lives, you also shall live. As in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ is risen indeed, and you too shall rise indeed. He is raised imperishable, you shall be raised imperishable. He is raised immortal, you shall be raised immortal. He has won the victory, you will share in that victory. For this reason, we confess together at the funeral service of a Christian from Romans chapter 6. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. That's why we celebrate on this joyful Easter day. That's why on this Easter morning we have two unique divine services in which you can come to the Lord's house to hear the Easter gospel, first from John and later from Mark, and eat and drink at the Lord's table twice. That's why we sing more hymns in this divine service than usual. That's why we have a breakfast and an Easter egg hunt and dinner with our fellow church members and friends and family. Because Christ is risen indeed. Those Christians with whom we worship, whom we sing and rejoice, with whom we eat and drink, we'll do all that together in heaven someday. Worship and sing and rejoice, and yes, even feast in the Lord's kingdom forever. We look forward to a joyful reunion in the presence of Christ with those we love who have died in the faith. Because Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. In this fallen world, the old saying might be right, death and taxes are the only things about which we can be certain. But for all who believe in Jesus and are baptized in his name, we have something even more certain, the resurrection of our body and the life everlasting. Jesus showed himself to be alive after his resurrection by many proofs, proving that he is risen indeed. Through the apostles' testimony, the Holy Spirit works to create and sustain faith in your hearts, that you may be certain that Jesus Christ is risen indeed, that he lives and reigns to all eternity. By faith, you know that your loved ones who have died are now in the presence of the Lord in paradise, just as he promised. The Lord will call you from your own grave someday. Someday, it will be said of all of us that we are risen indeed. Throughout the previous season of Lent, we focused on the Lord's Prayer and the petitions and the explanations found in Luther's Small Catechism. Today, we finish with the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. And how appropriate that we do so on this joyful Easter morning. As you heard on Friday, Easter is God's amen to Jesus' death on the cross. It is the proof that the atoning sacrifice of his Son is all-sufficient as payment for the sins of the whole world. The resurrection of Jesus also means that you should be certain that his death is pleasing to our Father in heaven and has been received by him. For he himself sent his Son to die for you in this way. For Jesus' sake, he promises to forgive you. Jesus' resurrection from the dead means, yes, yes, you shall rise also. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.